Turn with us in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Amen. Before we begin, we just want to tell all of our members, friends, guests, visitors, God bless you for being here tonight. It truly blesses my heart to see you here. And I hope that you can find your way back here sometime and join us again. Because we believe in the Bible, we believe in how it reads, and we believe in what it says. And that means doing the peculiar things that not everybody else is doing. And that's what we're here to do. So bless God, we're excited that you are here tonight. The Lord spoke in my heart in a very peculiar way about this scripture that we're going to read tonight. And He spoke to me earlier in the week in a very strange way. How many of you know that God will speak to you in strange ways? And there was something that I was beginning to realize as He was teaching me. When I work at my job, I spend a lot of time typing on a keyboard. So my hands are constantly moving. I'm looking. I'm observing something. I think about it. I change something. I'll type it. I'll move my mouse around and I'll click it. And sometime, I believe it was maybe Wednesday afternoon or something, I looked down at my hand. There had became a hangnail. And it wasn't just one of those normal hangnails that you just rip off and it moves on with itself, but it was one of these hangnails that began to dig down a little bit deeper than it normally would. And I began to look at it, and there was blood coming out of it, and I was like, buddy, that hurts. So I thought to myself, well, I'll just put a Band-Aid on it, and that's going to fix it. So I put one on it, wrapped it around it, and I started typing again, and I thought, man, that still hurts. It still bothered me. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get some lotion and put a little lotion on it. And I was like, well, that didn't work. And I'll go put some hand sanitizer on it. Maybe that'll burn it up. But it only would heal itself in time. But I began to think about the pain that I felt in such a tiny thing. And it's amazing to me that in such a tiny thing can become a great big distraction to what everything else in my body could do. Comparing one small thing to what we could do as an entire body. And I think sometimes we get caught up on so many hangnails when all that the Lord is wanting us to do is recognize and respond. Say the word respond. There is something amazing about the Spirit of God. It does not just come to make you feel good. But it is coming to you that you will recognize its presence and begin to respond with how that He moves in your life. All of us move in different ways. We all have different callings. Some of us preach. Some of us teach. Some of us exhort. Some of us study and prepare and give wisdom to our children. It comes in a multitude of ways. But what amazes me about the power of the anointing is not that I can feel it, but what happens when I begin to respond to when the Lord starts moving in my life. Let's begin to read this and let me preach a little while, if you do not mind. It says in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Very common verse. We all know that one. We can quote that one. "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We're going to read to verse 6. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for that he cometh to God and must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them," and say this phrase, "that diligently seek him." Let me humor you for a moment, and I want to just switch a little bit of what we're hearing there in that phrase. And let me go back and read it again. "That he is the rewarder of those that will respond when his Spirit is put upon them." This is what God gave me to share with you tonight. Faith is what we use to respond in a situation. Faith is our response to be obedient to the commands of God in spite of what we see and what we feel. Faith is our willingness to do it anyway, despite the problem. Faith is telling God, you know what, I don't see it, but I trust you to do it. Faith helps us to put down doing it our way. and begins to let the Lord have His way. There are many things that we can be doing to respond when the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to move in our life. And I'm not talking about tonight when it's easy to do it and it's easy to feel it and it's easy to have a good time. But I'm talking about when you're in a real life situation. You've got very real demons that are coming to vex you and possess you and try to overtake your mind. I'm talking about the things that nobody else wants to talk about, but it's the things that cause us to have little hangnails that keep us from executing as an entire body. We come in and have such potential to be powerful and anointed and devil chasing and demon casting, but we let a few little things hinder the entire body when God is calling us, when the pain comes, not to get angry, but to respond in a positive way. When we get overtaken in something, we've got to learn to respond when the Spirit begins to move. The Lord, He brought this scripture to me in Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." That means to me that all the things I want to work out, they begin to come together when I recognize my calling and begin to respond when the Lord begins to put it on me. Friend, when you feel His presence, it's a call to worship. When you begin to feel God moving, it's not to throw away, but it's to feel, it's to enjoy, and it's to respond to. And I'm telling you, when your body is sick and you feel the presence of God begin to be upon you, He is calling you to respond to the sickness and tell that thing that it cannot hold your body. When you begin to be overwhelmed by anger in a situation and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon you, He's wanting you to respond to the anger and say, "I will be at peace, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." In church, when we get in here at 13th Street on Fridays and Sundays and we begin to worship His presence, it is our duty to respond when God begins to call us. I don't know if that's you dancing when the Lord gets on you. I don't know if that's raising your hand when you begin to feel Him. But this I do know, that all the things begin to work to the good for them that are called, for them that will respond. In order to be called, you've got to hear it and you've got to acknowledge it. The Lord wants you to know it's time to make a positive response in your life. I'm going to give you some nuggets to go out of here with to know what you can do. Are you ready? Write them down if you don't get to them, and if you need to know them after church, I've got it here. I'll tell you again. The first word that the Lord gave me, something we preached on last week, was in 1 Timothy 6:11. And the word is pursue. And it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." He is calling us in a situation that is evil to pursue that which is the right way to go. When the Spirit of God gives us the strength, He is calling us to respond, to pursue the things that would cause us to be positive. He wants us to think on good things. He wants us to live in good things. He wants us to count our blessings and not our detriments. He wants us to enjoy our life while we still have it. And I don't know if you're going to have another year to live in this world. I don't know if we're going to have a church to continue and worship in. It may go to the ground tomorrow, but that which remains inside of you that was brought forth by the salvation of Jesus Christ is there in you to respond when God begins to speak to your life. Amen. We've got to start going after the enemy and stop settling for where he wants to dwell. God has given you borders. Say borders. He has given you a property of your life. He has given you control of your sanity. He has given you control of your own righteousness. He has given you the power of decision. And there has to be something that you do to guard this good ground that God has blessed you with. So when you see things out there afar off that would be a stumbling block to you, don't just wait for it to get closer and closer until you have to deal with it. You get down in prayer and seek the Lord, and He'll teach you about how to handle the situation, how to talk to the person about it, what to do in a situation that you don't know the way. He wants you to begin to pursue. He wants you to go after that devil that seems to think that he's going to have his way. He wants you to go after it and tell it, it will not dwell in my place. I'm enlarging my borders daily, not because of any good that I do, but because I go after the part that makes me not good. I see those things in me, and I begin to see God and say, God, change these parts of me that I can have your love as the center of my life. Lord, help me to be in a spirit of fellowship, to be able to bear the burdens one with another. Help me to be a good Christian. Help me to stand on the truth of your word. Help me not to compromise when everybody else my age is trying to compromise. Help me to lead this next generation to know who Jesus Christ is. Lord, don't let me fall back in a place where the devil roams all over my yard. The line has been drawn. I know what is mine, and I go after what would try to destroy me. You can wait around all you want, but that devil's going to come and try to peek on your doorstep. And my advice to you is that you get after him and tell him he's not welcome. Let's read another word in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This word is follow. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Everywhere that you see the call to follow, whether they were in the boat, whether they were flat on their back, blinded, they responded to the call, and they left behind where they were. There was a person in the Bible that you read about that said that I have to go and take care of a funeral before I can come follow you. And I read that it says, let the dead bury their dead. You know what that's talking about? That everything you could do to cause this thing that you think you've got to fix to prosper, that it won't even affect you in a positive way. For if you would have just laid it down in the moment that God began to call on you to follow him more, it wouldn't have bothered you. It wouldn't have affected you the way it did. I could have spared myself of 8 years of drug addiction and bondage if I had just began to follow him when he began to command me. But you've got to understand that it's your time to respond. We've got people that are blaming their parents for the way they are. We've got addicts and alcoholics, abusive people that all say that they can't be any different because of that's how somebody else was. Well, friend, I'm here to tell you that they may have conceived you, they may have brought you into the world, but that does not mean that you have to carry any curse that they live with in their life. God has called you to make you more than able, to be more than an overcomer, so that in spite of your situation, you're able to look back at your life and say, I know what the devil meant for me to be, but I know what God has called me to be. So when I face something, I don't go back and act as I did, but I respond in the way that God has called me to respond. I'm getting excited. Oh, I'm getting pumped up now. Let's read another word. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The word I want you to get is repent. Somebody say repent. We don't do enough of it. If we had to confess that. We don't do enough of giving God our real troubles. We want to wait until we're overwhelmed before we'll begin to respond when God says, come ye all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He don't want you to wait. He wants you to respond when you've got a big heavy load that you can't carry on your own. You don't have to walk with this load anymore. Jesus came so that you could be able to bear it. So when we repent is to turn away. To leave behind, to abandon. I abandoned who the enemy said I was. I didn't have to throw away a great big lot of drugs to prove to myself I was different. I didn't have to do any of that. I left it behind just like it was. Somebody in here tonight, I feel it. You're waiting until you get everything in a place before you can actually feel like you're worthy to call out on God. But friend, the Bible only calls us to repent. If we'll repent of our sins and confess that Jesus is the Lord of our life, He said the same would be saved. How many of you ever had that confession before? If you have, you've been saved by the grace of God. We have all at one point in our life, at least once, somebody say at least one time we were honest with God. How many of you is going to get with me on that one? At least one time we let Him have everything so that He could take care of everything. But we get all these little things in our life, these little humps and bumps and pain, and you can't do anything about trying to change it to work it for your good. But it's time that we learn to move and act upon what God has given us to use. That means to repent and ask for forgiveness. Oh, you better believe it. That means to tell other people you're sorry, even when you don't feel like they deserve to hear it. That means making amends and walking away with a clear conscience. That's the true peace of God. To be of a clear conscience. I want to tell somebody tonight, you cannot wait until everything is fixed, because life does not promise us a perfect moment. It does not promise us an opportunity to where we can finally say, all is okay with me. I'm ready to then confess. There was a rich man that came wondering about how he could be saved. And it's amazing to me that Jesus wasn't wanting him to just sell everything he had. But He wanted him to abandon all that he had gained. It wasn't the fact that if he had went and sold it, that he would have been okay. He wanted him to walk away from the part of him that left him like he was. He didn't want him just to be a religious aristocrat that could donate a bunch of money and feel like that he was okay. He didn't want him just to be benevolent out in the world and of good stature and think that all would be well. He wanted him to abandon the part of him that would continue to fail without Christ. We cannot do this without Jesus. How many of you will acknowledge that in here tonight? We can't do this without Christ. In the quickest way, I feel this for somebody, the quickest way to get back on track is just get down and repent. We should be doing it every day. Because if you're trying to write down only the things that you do wrong and you think that you've went a week without doing wrong, you're wrong. Because we all mess up at some point. We all forget to open the door sometimes for our loved one. We all forget to open the door for somebody. We sometimes forget to leave a better tip than we do. Sometimes we always abandon the notion of doing good when we're tired. So there are moments where we come short, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And the quickest way to get on track is to respond when we know that we have. And that's to repent. That was God's calling on us, to turn away from the things that hinder us. Let's read another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Here's a few of them. Verse 16 says, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. That's the one thing we should be able to do more than anything. Rejoice evermore. Next word is pray. Pray without ceasing and in everything. Did that say some things? Hold on. Let me go back. No, wait. I'm pretty sure that says everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh no. I've been gentle, but I can hold back no longer. Curl your toes if you must. In everything tells me every service. You can amen or not, or I'll go back there and amen myself. In everything means give it. And give it and give it, even when I don't think that I've got it. In everything means in spite of what I feel. Oh, I'm going to do it. You better help me out. In everything means I'm going to worship Him because He deserves to be worshiped. Even when I don't see my blessing, He's still worthy to be worshiped. I'm here to tell somebody right now, you can worship Him in everything. You just got to respond when the anointing of the Holy Ghost begins to move in your life. My Lord, my God,
God. How long are we going to wait before we respond with the way that God has called us to respond? How long are you going to sit there and look at me and wait for me to make it right? How long are you going to wait before you know that if God did it then, that he's going to do it again? Friend, don't you dare wait on anybody. He said in everything, praise him anyway. Praise him anyway.